Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
It's the Back Nine Boys Golf Show. All about golf, from putting to driving, from hooks to whatever. Now, here's your host of the Back Nine Boys Golf Show, Rich Stiles.
Welcome in. This is the Back Nine Boys podcast, brought to you by Bridgestone Golf. Play the Tour B ball with Mindsec technology, by the club at Sea Palms, by PXG. You've never played like this before. By RSM, proud sponsor of the RSM Classic, giving back in our community. By Stitch Golf, dress your game. And by CJ's Italian Restaurant, voted best pizza twice in a row. Known for their deep dish and thin crust and much, much more. Check out their full menu at CJsItalianRestaurant.com. Our guest this morning from the Georgia State Golf Association is Jeff Fages. And Jeff, you have a lot of activities, as you guys always do, coming up with the Women's Amateur Championship and the Georgia Amateur Championship, which is going to be at Ocean Forest. Let's first talk about the Women's Amateur. A record number of entries. Unbelievable.
Yeah, thanks, Rich. Really appreciate you having me on again. It's always a pleasure to spend some time with you. This is a crazy, crazy time of year for us. You know, once really May hits, we keep going through the end of August with championships, USGA qualifying, our schedule. It is nonstop, but it's what we live for and what we get excited about, and providing some incredible championship experiences for our players. Yeah, we just wrapped up the 97th Georgia Women's Amateur Championship at Athens Country Club. It was the sixth time the club hosted. We had 111 players that signed up. And wow. What an exceptional championship. Athens is just an amazing site. It's an old Donald Ross design, it definitely not too many of those around. And, man, it presented some challenges for the players. The green complexes here at Athens were unbelievable. And you really that practice round was so important. You had to know where to hit it, where not to hit it. And then, you know, obviously it's one thing to know that. It's another thing to execute it. So, yeah. But there was some great golf played, and it was a great, great championship.
You know, I've talked to Coach Hack, and I asked him what his secret sauce was as far as putting out so many UGA golfers onto the Corn Ferry and PGA Tour. And first he said, "I'm not telling." And then I asked Harris English, and Harris said, part of it is the Athens golf course. I mean, you have to know where to miss. You have to know where not to miss. You basically use every club in your bag. And he said, it's challenging. What a great place to have the Georgia Women's Amateur Championship at Athens Country Club, even though it's the sixth time and the second strongest field since 2025. Incredible. Great job.
Yeah, I mean, Harris was definitely right. I'm sure that's probably something that Coach Hack was alluding to. I've been talking about that, the same thing you just mentioned all week to everybody. It's like you got to know where to miss, and it's one thing to know, it's another thing to do it that way and execute those shots where you want to hit it and know where you can get into some trouble. The golf course is fantastic. It's been a number of years since we've been here. We haven't been to Athens for a championship since 2018 when we had our men's state amateur out here.
Wow.
And the staff is so hospitable. They welcome the championship with open arms. Their director of golf, Joe Devaney, and golf professional Carrie Bird, The superintendent out here, his name is James Drinkard. This guy is a legend. He has been here for 47 years.
Wow.
And he's got two assistants, one that's been around for 38 years and one that's been around for 30, I think it's 32 or 34. So the continuity and teamwork that they have with their agronomy team is just exceptional. And they have it so dialed in there. It's amazing. But as you mentioned there at the end, yeah, last year we had the second strongest field in women's state amateur golf, only topped by the state of California. And I like to say it's not even a fair fight because they have so many more players than we do. So
I totally agree.
I'll make the argument that we have the best players in the entire country. And certainly we're looking to replicate that with what we just concluded here at Athens Country Club. The new Wagger rankings will come out next week, and we'll see where we land at the end of the summer. But yeah, strong field. Two players that were battling at the top of the leaderboard, Mary Miller and Ava Merrill, they were duking it out last year as well. And both players in the top, I think 150 in Wagger, and just great competition.
And Jeff, the winner receives exemptions. Tell us about that, because that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, there's all kinds of carrots dangled out there for players that are competing in the Georgia Women's Amateur. This year, the winner receives an exemption into the U.S. Women's Amateur this year, and they will also receive an exemption into next year's Sea Island Women's Amateur. So, you know, it's not just a trophy that they're competing for anymore, and not just putting their name on the trophy with all the golfing greats in Georgia. There's opportunities abound out there, and it's certainly things that the players are aware of as they compete. So the USGA introduced that exemption a couple of years ago, and we're very proud to say that that our championship is able to award that exemption.
Well, as you unpack your suitcase from this week, you got to repack again to go next week to the Georgia Amateur Championship that now is going to be held where they had the Walker Cup a long time ago, but it's going to be held at Ocean Forest on Sea Island. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I'll be home for a couple of days. There's going to be a lot of laundry and repacking, and then we're back on the road again to Ocean Forest. We had a record number of entries this year, Rich, for the championship, 1,297 entries of people
Wow.
that tried to qualify for this event. It really speaks to what we're doing with the Georgia State Golf Association and our championships program, but it also speaks to Ocean Forest and the level that that club is on, and the prestige and distinction of hosting a state amateur out there is one that we're so proud of. So we just recently had our last chance qualifier on Thursday. So the final four players have been added to the field. Last year, we had the strongest field in all of the country as far as the men's state amateur goes. And we're certainly looking to replicate that this year as well. We have 11 players, I believe, that are ranked in the top 250 in the world amateur golf rankings, and another strong championship at Ocean Forest.
And this is the second time that Ocean Forest has hosted it. And I know John Wade, the director of golf, and we've got him on after you today. And then Lucas Walters, who's one of the best golf course superintendents. I'm sure they're going to have the course in spectacular shape.
Yeah, we've been working with John and Lucas. I mean, we work with them every year because the Georgia State Golf Association is very fortunate and thankful that we get to assist the club in the annual Jones Cup Invitational. But
right.
We started working on the Georgia Amateur back in the fall of 2025. We had some meetings with the club and went through all the details of the event, and then, you know, continued the conversations throughout the course of the last 9 months or so. John Wade, the director of golf, and Lucas, the golf course, Lucas Walters, golf course superintendent, they've made it a priority to present a spectacular experience for the players. They're going to do everything they can and more to make it similar or better than the hospitality that the players receive at the Jones Cup, which is their signature event. So we couldn't be any more excited, and the 144 players in the field are filled with anticipation. They signed up for practice rounds. Our main practice round day is Wednesday, and when practice rounds opened up this past Friday, it filled up in just a few minutes. So players were chomping at the bit. They're looking forward to get out there, and we're certainly looking forward to getting down there as well. I'll be down there on Monday to start a setup and get ready for a great championship.
And the winner of the Georgia Amateur, which is a pretty prestigious event, they also get exemptions. Tell us what those exemptions are, because those are big too.
Yeah, not only do they get their name on the Robert H. Martin Trophy, this is the 105th playing, and they're going to have their name along golfing greats that are in the Georgia Golf Hall of Fame. But we're also excited, just like the women's amateur, our men's amateur champion receives an exemption into the 2026 U.S. Amateur. They get an exemption into the 2026 Southern Amateur Championship, which is part of the Elite Amateur Golf Series that's being played at Atlanta Athletic Club in July. And then they'll also receive an exemption into the 2027 Jones Cup Invitational back at Ocean Forest in January. And the remainder of the top five will receive exemptions through U.S. Amateur local qualifying next year. So much to play for. Strong field. We can't wait to get it going. I just need a couple of days of rest before we head down there. We charge the batteries.
And doing laundry would probably also help a little bit.
I think everybody would appreciate that.
You know, I know you're amazed. I'm amazed. But people really don't, I think, realize how the amateur programs that we do here in Georgia, not only have they expanded and you're having record entries into all of your events, but the quality of play has just skyrocketed over the last few years, not only with women's and the Georgia Amateur, but also with juniors. I'm amazed at how well these people play the game.
It's incredible, Rich. You know, I've been with GSGA for, this is my 23rd year, and to see how players have developed over the last 20 years is just, it's my eyes are popping out of my head. I mean, it's so incredible. You know, going back to our women's amateur that we just wrapped up at Athens Country Club, you know, a lot of the players, we do have a lot of college players and a few mid-am and senior players that are in the field, but a lot of what makes up the field are junior golfers and players that have played and developed on our junior tour and are now stepping up into a higher level championship. I mean, we had players that were 12, 13, 14 years old playing in our women's state amateur, and it's just a tremendous learning experience for them, gaining that initial high level competition experience, and to see how they develop and get better over the years. It's a real joy. So many people I've known since they were, you know, beginning intermediate junior golfers, and to see how they've developed into high level collegiate players now and beyond is really something special.
It really is. And if you, I know I've talked about this with John Wade, but many of the Jones Cup winners or players that have been in the Jones Cup are not only on the PGA Tour, but they've also won PGA tournaments and majors as well.
Yeah. We have a championship welcome party on Wednesday for the state amateur, and our guest speaker is going to be Harris English. And, you know, Harris grew up playing some junior golf here in Georgia. He won our state amateur. He, you know, played at Georgia. He's gone on to do incredible things. And there's just such a long lineage here in Georgia and history of strong play and players that have gone on to do great things and win major championships. It's just something we're very proud of the opportunities that we're able to present players from juniors all the way up through the highest level. It's a real, real honor to be a part of.
Well, if you get a chance to talk to Harris prior to his speech, which I'm sure you will, he is a huge, big big fan of Jeopardy. I know when he's on the road, he probably watches it as much, but I mean, he's a big Jeopardy fan.
All right. I'll mention it. I'll see if I can stump him. I'll come up with a good question for him.
Jeff, as always, thank you for being with us. We appreciate it. Appreciate all you do for Georgia Golf.
Yeah, thank you so much, Rich. Look forward to a great week ahead at Ocean Forest. Appreciate you having me on.
Hello, I'm David Roy. I'm the manager of Crail Golfing Society here in Scotland, and you're listening to the Back Nine Boys with Rich Stiles.
We are with John Wade, the director of golf at Ocean Forest. And John, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thanks for having me, Rich.
It's always a pleasure. So you're getting ready to host for the second time the Georgia Amateur. Tell me what it takes to get ready for a Georgia Amateur at Ocean Forest.
Well, you know, it certainly there's always back of the house type things that go on with any tournament. We're working very closely with the Georgia State Golf Association, as though we are the host site, they are the administrators of the event, and we have an incredible working relationship with them, as they are instrumental in our annual Jones Cup Invitational every January by providing rules officials and taking care of whole locations and marking the golf course and setting up the golf course for play. It's basically, once the players get on grass, they're their responsibility.
Right.
Different about the State Am is we're really just the host venue. So our big job for preparation is securing some volunteers. And the Georgia State Golf Association will be down quite a bit ahead of time doing a lot of things that I just mentioned that they do for the Jones Cup, along with some other things, whether it be signage, whether, you know, depending on what they want to do. You have 144 players playing the first 2 days, and then they'll cut to low 60 in ties for the weekend. So there's a lot going on, you know, leading up to the event, which really kind of falls on the responsibility of the GSGA. And we just make sure we got volunteers and make sure that the golf course is kind of where we want it without any interruption to our member play. And pray for good weather.
So. Yeah, that's one thing I think most golf tournaments always pray for, the one that we don't have control of.
That's right.
But some very prestigious past winners: Russell Henley, Harris English, Brian Harman, Drew Love, Davis's son. I think Davis even caddied for him, I think, part of the time in that.
He did.
Lee Knox, Tim O'Neill, Paul Claxton, we're going back a little bit on that. Jeff Knox won, he placed second the last time that it was at Ocean Forest, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. So it's a very prestigious event, and one that obviously, with a lot of the folks that we just mentioned, have moved on to the PGA Tour, or in Tim O'Neill and Paul Claxton's, into the Champions Tour event. So it's, yes, a pretty big event.
You know, it's a big event, and Jeff Phages with the GSGA, he's the senior director for rule, informed us this past January that they were notified that the 2025 Georgia State Amateur was ranked number one in strength of field for the entire nation.
Wow.
And they anticipate being very close to that again in 2026. I think the GSGA is doing an incredible job of finding quality venues. And those venues, look, they drive some of this. I think there's a couple things here that speaks to the quality of the field.
Right.
The USGA has tweaked some of their entries into their major championship, the United States Amateur, in which the state amateur champions get a automatic berth into the United States Amateur. So next month,
America's electrical manufacturers have invested hundreds of billions into U.S. manufacturing to build critical infrastructure right here at home, helping to strengthen our grid with American products for a more secure future. That's why the National Electrical Manufacturers Association created the Make It American program, helping manufacturers across all sectors create certified American-made products. With Congress's adoption of the program, domestic manufacturing can prosper. Learn how at makeitamerican.org.
Our Georgia State Amateur Champion will get a spot in the United States Amateur Championship at Marion Golf Club. They will earn an exemption into the 2026 Southern Amateur at Atlanta Athletic Club. And the champion is going to earn a 2027 exemption into the Jones Cup Invitation. Wow. So there's a lot to play for.
Sure. Now,
144 players in the field. Jeff indicated to me that once the last chance qualifier is done, which, forgive me, I'm not quite sure when that takes place, if it's the Monday of the week or the week of before.
Right.
There are going to be just under 1,300 players trying to qualify for a 144-player field. So based on the amount of qualifiers, the amount of individuals signed up, I think if you're having to go through a qualifier, it's a 7% chance of getting through.
Wow. And then of it's
they've never had this many entries.
Yeah. I mean, that just shows you the growth of the Georgia Amateur, growth of the folks that obviously want to be able to play in it. Those that are trying to get into it, but 1,300 possible entries for 144 spots. That's about what, 11, 12% of those folks that are going to get into it are going to make it. And as you said, based on what they get out of it and get the exemptions and the things that they're able to play in, obviously with the people that we've had win before, it's a huge event.
It's huge. And if you just look at Georgia golf, and I know we're biased. But if you look at Georgia golf as a whole, I'm going to say this wrong, but I'm going to be pretty close. Either the last 4 years or four out of the last 5 years, someone from Georgia has won a USGA national championship of some kind, whether currently we have the United States Junior and the United States Amateur Champion, both from Georgia. Bob Roryak, who's playing in the amateur next month, he's won the U.S. Senior Amateur and made it to either the finals or the quarterfinals last year. We've had some ladies play at a very high level, winning a number of USGA events. Georgia is deep in golf talent.
Yeah, it is.
Even outside of the PGA Tour, it's deep in amateur golf. And what a great nod to the great Bobby Jones.
Oh yeah.
You know, arguably the greatest amateur ever, that his home state is so competitive at a high level throughout a very diverse group of individuals.
Well, and these players, and by the way, what are the dates for the tournament? We haven't mentioned that yet.
That would be kind of important, wouldn't it? June 11th, 14th.
Right. So 11th and 12th, they'll play, they'll make the cut, and then those that'll go down to the top 60 in ties will play for the weekend.
That's correct. 72 hole stroke play. They'll all be walking. It kind of golf as it was meant to be, Rich, to be honest with you.
Are they able to take caddies with them, John?
They are.
If they want.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think two could be dads, brothers, best friends, girlfriends. They'll grab a few of our caddies from our caddy program. But yeah. And you look, I think the weather is going to be great for golf, but it certainly can be a little warm. Could be in the 80s. So, you know, having someone tote your bag, include the practice round on the 10th, I mean, you potentially could play 18 hole, walk 18 holes five straight days.
Yeah.
And if you're not normally doing that, I don't think people understand what that takes out of you. You know, Rich, that's interesting about the walking in the June and all that. Normally in the Jones Cup, which is in January, we're fighting daylight and we typically have a little challenging weather, wind from the north. They'll probably be praying for a wind from the north during June. But I'm really curious to see how the golf course plays. The golf course is difficult, but the ball's going to fly further in June than it does in January.
Right.
A lot of these kids hit it so far. Like, the golf course, they're going to play over 7,300 yards. But, I mean, I don't know. They could play 8,000 yards as far as some of these hit it. So, you know, what they're going to experience here is maybe some rather strong hole locations that they're going to navigate and figure out where to go. But I'm excited to watch it.
Oh, gosh. I mean, just watching the Jones Cup and, you know, watching the other tournaments, the SEC that we had at Sea Island. But, I mean, you've got guys that have won this, that have won majors on the PGA Tour, that have won a lot of PGA tournaments. And just seeing these people play your golf course, Ocean Forest, knowing what Bo Welling did when he kind of refreshed it a little bit. It never plays easy. And to me, the greens are challenging.
Yeah. You know, a couple years ago, Davis Thompson played at Georgia and is on the tour now. He was our 2020 or 99 champion. Mm-hmm. I should know. I'm sorry. Nevertheless, Davis was leading the United States Open after nine holes, and Shane Martin tweeted, X'd, whatever it's called, that Davis Thompson, the leader after nine holes at the United States Open, which is no surprise, as a Jones Cup Invitational champion, he is an expert at difficult conditions and hard golf courses. And it was an incredible quote.
Sure. You know,
certainly that we're pretty proud of. And it's not, but I like what Bo did, and what I think the players are going to experience is it is going to be a difficult golf course that is fair. It is going to reward a well-struck, thought out golf shot. It is going to penalize a poor golf shot. And that's okay. Short game is going to be critical. Again, I don't know, like, don't ask me what I think they're going to shoot, because I don't know. I know what happens at the Jones Cup, but we're in June, could be perfect weather, balls flying, guys are incredibly talented. You know, I don't know, but I know par still going to be your friend, and it's going to be a good score. And it's going to be a test. And whoever wins this, in my humble opinion, when they go to the United States Amateur and when they go to the Southern Amateur and when they come back for the Jones Cup, they are going to have proven themselves that they can play a difficult golf course. And I think that down the road, I really do.
Yeah, I do too. Georgia Amateur, Ocean Forest, June 11 through 14. John Wade, Director of Golf at Ocean Forest. Thank you for being with us. Good luck in the tournament.
Thank you, Rich. And once again, I know I've said this before, but I think it's worth repeating. For those of us that are in the golf industry, or for just simply those of us that love the game of golf, we appreciate everything that you do for the game of golf. and certainly for this region and the Golden Isles. And we appreciate you, and you probably don't get told that enough.
Well, you are too kind. Thank you. Appreciate it.
My name is Luke Leesburg. I'm an assistant professional here at Moonlight Basin in Big Sky, Montana. And you'll listen to the Back Nine Boys Golf Show.
We are so glad that you are with us. Jack Nicklaus won the last Masters in 1986, his sixth one, with Jack Nicklaus II on his bag. And Jackie said he had the best seat in the house, and now that is the name of his book. Great book. Our next guest is Jack Nicklaus II. Good morning, Jackie, and thank you so much for being with us.
Rich, thanks so much. Great to talk with you.
I was just thrilled with the book, and I think everybody remembers that 86 Masters. You had, as you said, the best seat in the house. What a great name for the book.
Well, thanks so much. I was only 24 years old at the time, and I honestly, so many people related to where they were back there in 1986 on that great Sunday where Dad had that great victory. And I did feel like I had the best seat in the house, and then I kind of started thinking it over the years past that and saying, you know what, I ought to share some of my thoughts about, kind of watching my father, not just that day in 86 and what he experienced, but what I experienced watching him in, I think, a great life, a great man.
What was it like to caddy for him at the Masters? You're there on Sunday. You're getting ready for... You really don't know what's going to happen by the end of the day, but it was a pretty spectacular day for you and your dad.
Well, it was. He played well all week. Didn't make any putts early on in the tournament and made a few more putts on Saturday, and it kind of the floodgates opened up that Sunday. Excuse me. He's won a lot of golf tournaments, as you know, but that particular Sunday, he's 46 years old at the time. He's certainly past his prime. And it was the emotions that I remember probably more than anything, Rich. As he approached each screen, that back nine, the applause that he got, it was phenomenal. And I knew it was more than just what he was doing that day.
Right.
I believed it was an appreciation for his career and even beyond the golf, kind of what he stood for throughout his career. And then, of course, I had an amazingly special moment that I'll cherish forever, the embrace that I shared with Dad on the 18th green. He made me part of it. He truly did, and that meant the world will always mean the world to me.
What was it like walking up the 18th green, knowing that sixth Masters win was there, and the crowd, I'm sure was just unbelievably excited and loud.
Well, there's no way that I thought that he had the Masters at that point in time. You still had Tom Kite, Greg Norman, Seve Ballesteros were hot on his heels, and Dad knew, I knew that he did everything that he could do that day to give himself the best chance to win. He still had... as he approached 18, he still had about a 40 or 50 foot putt up the hill. And, I look at the replays. I thought that he had left it about 5 feet short, and I'm trying to help him line up that putt. And as I said all week, trying to remind him to keep his head still and line it up. And I look at the films, it was only about a 2-inch putt. And, he says, Jackie, I can handle this one. Anyway, it was so special, and then, of course, he finished up. He gave me an amazing embrace and made me part of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then we walked from the 18th green over to the Jones cabin. And honestly, it's the only time I saw Dad all day nervous. Hmm. And I kind of looked at him, and all of a sudden I realized that he couldn't control what was going to happen in the tournament anymore.
Right.
It was beyond his reach. He did everything that he could do, and of course, we watched the last couple of groups finish up from the monitor inside the Jones cabin, and it was with my grandma and my aunt, my mom, and my dad. And he ended up winning the tournament, and the celebration began. We started hugging, and Dad stepped out of the Jonesville with a great celebration. It was fun.
Pretty cool. What did you guys talk about on Sunday, in between holes, in between shots, or did you talk?
Well, I had caddied for Dad quite a lot, and I kind of used some of my experience I go back to the 1982 U.S. Open. I'm caddying for Dad out at Pebble Beach, where Tom Watson made that incredible chip in on 74. Dad thought he had won that event. I think when he finished up 18, and I kind of backtracked when he started that final day. And forgive me for talking too long on this, but when we started that final day in 82, he bogeyed the first hole, and the second hole at the time was a par five, which he parred. So basically he gave two shots to the field,
right?
And then he birdied the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh hole. So he birdies five holes in a row. The walk from seven green to 18 is about 12 feet. And I remember pumping both fists, looking at him in the face and saying, "Way to go, Dad, this is great." And I probably had nothing to do with it, but Dad hit his drive down the middle of the fairway, and his shot came up a little short at eight green into the frog here that was in between the sand and the regular rough, and he did not get up and down. He bogeys eight, and I kind of blame myself for maybe taking him out of his mode. So fast forward to 86, there was no way I was going to show any emotion. I just, he'd make a great putt, and I'd like, "Nice putt, Dad. Let's make another one." And it was all business. I think I realized that as a caddy, I probably wasn't going to help Dad a whole lot because, he's won a lot of majors and I haven't won any. But I knew I could hurt Dad.
Yeah.
So I was his friend. I kept up, the business that I could manage.
Sure.
Best I could. And I was there to help him.
So how long, Jackie, did it take you to write the book, put all your thoughts together? The name of the book obviously came up and you had that. But how long did it take you and how much did John Maxwell help you?
John Maxwell actually was at my parents' house doing a fundraiser in conjunction with his group, as well as the Nicholas Children's Healthcare Foundation, with my mom and dad. And I had mentioned to John that I'd been thinking about doing this book for about 5 years, and he goes, "I've got the person, exactly the person that you need to write this book with." And that evening, we picked up the phone. I called Don Yeager in Tallahassee, and Don and I hit it off immediately. And I've been writing down notes for years, going back, really prior to the 86 Masters. Anyway, from the time John introduced me to Don Yeager, it was about a year later that the book came out. It took us a solid 10 months to do this book. And actually, Don ended up getting corona very severely right in the middle of it. So had about a two-month window where he was fairly idle. But the rest of the time, we were full on. And I think we had a great collaboration. We had a great time, and I'm really proud of the book.
All right. You mentioned lessons from your dad that you've learned. Of those 18 lessons, what is the most important lesson that you observed by watching your dad on the golf course?
Well, specific to watching him on the golf course, which I think parallels life in so many ways.
Yeah.
Dad always felt like, he could only manage what he could manage, meaning he prepared himself so well, and he worked his butt off before he ever got to the golf course. And one conversation I remember him sharing with actually Ken Leister, John Miller's manager. I was in the back seat, and Johnny's always, I love Johnny. Johnny, uses the choke word a lot, and Ken asked my dad. He says, "Jack, why is it you never seem to choke?" And my dad says, "Well, I'm not afraid to win." Huh. And I quickly, backseat, chimed in. I said, "Dad, don't you mean you're not afraid to lose?" He goes, no. He says, "It's easy to lose." He says, "Anybody can lose." He said, but to win, he says, "Win takes a great responsibility because people are going to expect more of you when you win."
Right.
And separating yourself from the field of victory. So it's a lot tougher to win. He managed what he could control. He seemed not to get nervous during competition, because I know he believed that he was prepared. All of his work went in for that moment in competition where it was time to perform a golf shot. And, Dad is all about winning. He is so competitive.
Yeah.
Your previous show, I heard you guys talking about Arnold, and you know, I see Arnold was mentioned, of course, my dad in the same light. You know, you're either the king or you're not. And, you know, Arnold was the king in his era. My dad was the king in his era.
Yeah.
Tiger king in his era. You know, you're going to win or you're not. And that's, I've learned a lot just watching my dad and how he rises to the occasion. He loves to win.
Yeah. Well, one of the stories I loved, Jackie, was when you had a bad day. You had a bad day on the course, and there was a phone call from your dad, and your dad asked you to ask him after you went through how bad of a day you had. And then he said, ask me about my day. Tell us that.
Well, that's a great lesson on being a parent is, you know, keeping your kids your number one priority. And that was, a great example of that. I'm 18 years old. At the time, I just accepted to play at the University of North Carolina. And like any teenager, it was all about me. I couldn't see past my own nose. And so my dad calls me. It was 1980. And I'm like, you know, a little annoyed. I'm signing my scorecard. Oh, my gosh, just before cell phones. And so my dad's on the phone, and he says, how'd you do today, Jackie? I must have gone over 20 minutes about how I hooked it or spiced it or whatever the heck I did. Not so great, which that tournament means nothing to me today. And at the end of the conversation, I'm about ready to hang up, and my dad says, well, do you want to ask how your dad did today? I'm like, absolutely embarrassed. I said, oh, my gosh, yes, how did you do today? And he said, well, I just won the U.S. Open. But slightly more significant than what I was doing.
Yeah, how tall did that make you feel after he said that?
Rich, I felt very small at that point.
Understandably so, yeah. I just happened to win the U.S. Open. Yeah, I got it. Your dad was there, and you talk about being there, being present, being active with your kids. But your dad was there, even though he was on the road a lot. How did that make you feel, or how great was that just to know that he was there? Maybe not in person, but mentally and phone calls or whatever, he was there.
Well, obviously, playing golf around the world, Dad did not have the typical 9-to-5 job. And I'm going to tell you, Mom and Dad were at our events more than the typical parent. That was working in town, maybe right across the street. They always made a point to, again, I mentioned earlier, keep us a priority in their lives. And I think being present for your children and really present, like listening, means so much to your kids. I've done the same thing with my kids. And actually, as I've become a parent, you know, over the years, I've learned what a commitment my mom and dad made.
Yeah.
I've realized how hard that is to be there as much as you can. And Dad, you know, Dad, I'll never forget, we were playing in the middle of the state of Florida, a football match, my brother and I, my brother Steve, and Dad's playing in Akron, Ohio at the World Series of Golf. And he finished his Friday round, got on a plane, flew down to Florida, drove an hour to get out to this obscure town in the middle of Florida, watched our high school football game that Friday night. It was our crosstown rival. You know, we won, which doesn't mean anything, but I remember that we won. But more importantly, Dad and Mom were there. He slapped us on the butts. Nice going today, so I got to go get back and finish a golf tournament. And I'd like to tell you that he won that weekend up in Akron, Ohio. But again, what we remember is Mom and Dad were there. They were present.
Yeah, that's very important. Love to talk about that and more. Jackie, we got to take a quick break. We'll be back with Jack Nicklaus II and his book, Best Seat in the House, right after this on the Back Nine Boys Golf Show. Stay with us. And we're on the phone and talking with Jack Nicklaus II, otherwise known as Jackie, about his book, Best Seat in the House. How proud of the book are you, Jackie, that it's out, it's doing well? You've got to be thrilled and proud how it's been accepted.
You know what? We've had a great response to the book. I will say that I never thought about selling a bunch of books. It was I set out to really pay tribute to my mom and dad, and honestly, my mom as much as my dad in the tribute. And you know, when I handed the book to my mom and dad, obviously while they're still here with us, the joy that I had in that moment was off the charts. And when my father read the book, when my mom read the book, what I got from them is, son, I'm proud of you. And I couldn't have asked for anything more.
I mean, that is what a son likes to hear from either of his parents, but to hear it from both, I mean, that just had to be an incredible feeling for you.
It was. And that's, you know, whether I ever sold a single book or not, that for me was it.
Yep. All right. Do you think that your dad is the best golfer of all time?
Yes, I think he is. But you know what? You know, everybody has their errors.
Sure.
And I think it'd be so interesting to, you know, put the top golfers from the eras across time and see how they would compete. And I've heard Dad ask that same question. His response would be that, you know, Byron Nelson would probably figure out how to win today. Tiger Woods would probably figure out how to win back in the 30s. You know, just you go across the board, and
sure.
I think it's about the love of competition and the want to win. And they figured out whatever instruments they were using, whether the golf balls are today or yesterday, and they love to win and they love to compete. It would be so much fun to see them all play.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, it would be. So if you could put a bonus lesson that you've learned in your book as an extra chapter, what would that lesson be?
Oh gosh. Well, Don really, you know, he cut me off at 18, so I could still be writing.
You could have done a 19th hole.
You know what? My bonus lesson was frankly the last chapter in the book, and it's called Full Circle. And during the process, you know, Don asked me, says, well, you know, tell me about the relationship that you share with your own children. And I have five children, and I started, you know, quickly answering it, you know, and my response stopped immediately. I said, you know what, I need to sit back and think about this. And that evening, I reached out to each of my five kids. I said, you know, guys, what do you think the relationship that we shared? Please give me a little description rather than having your dad throw something at you.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you, that question I asked my kids, the responses I got for me were absolutely incredible. And that chapter is named Full Circle. And I'm telling you that all the efforts came full circle to me in that chapter. Like, yes, you know, all the times that I spent watching my kids, the time I put in, you know, trying to show my kids a good foundation and teach them about competition and you know, just about life, really, they paid attention. And a lot of times you don't think your kids are listening. And the response I got from my kids showed me that, yeah, they had listened.
That's awesome.
That made me very proud.
That's awesome. Yeah, it should be. Do any of them play golf?
They do, but it was funny. You know, they wanted to stay away from golf for some reason as younger. They always play the team sports, and I can understand that. Playing golf as a Nicholas, there's a lot of, you know, predisposed thoughts on how you should walk and how you should play. And I lived that with all my playing days, trying to compete. But now they're starting to play. Now they've gotten all but one is out of college. And I'm here in Charleston right now, excuse me, visiting my son, Will. He's playing lacrosse in North Carolina, but he's here for an internship this summer. And but, you know, as they're getting out of college, they're playing the individual sports, and they're picking up golf now. I wished they had paid a little bit more attention to it when they were younger, because golf is easier to learn, I think, when you're younger. But they like the game now. You know, they're enjoying it with their friends, so it's fun to watch. But some are actually pretty good. But you're not going to see, I think, any of my five children on the tour.
All right, we've got about 45 seconds left. Do you still follow the Tar Heels, basketball, football, as much as you did when you were in school?
Well, of course. As I mentioned with my son there, I love the Tar Heels. I'm always going to be blue sky blue. But no, it's fun. I love sports. I love all kinds of sports. I think I got that from my father. And you mentioned basketball. Dean Smith was really nice to me, as was Roy Williams.
Yeah.
We just It's fun going back to school, watching my son run around on the field. I see it as four bonus years when your kid gets to play college.
That's awesome, especially where they go where you went. Jackie, thank you for being with us. Pleasure to have you, and great book. Congratulations on that.
Rich, thanks so much. And good luck with the Back Nine Boys Golf Show. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thank you for being with us.
You've been listening to the Back Nine Boys Golf Show with Rich Stiles. Go to back9boys.com for all things golf whenever you want it. We'll be back next week with an all-new Back Nine Boys at back9boys.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.